You're listening to Cap and Company, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000. Follow Capper on Twitter at the Capman and argue with the man himself to your heart's content.
All right, welcome back here to Mesa, Arizona, where we're doing the radio show all week long, courtesy of the fine people here at the Sheraton Hotel, Tropicana, Tropicana Essentials, Probiotic Lemonades, Black Dog Speed Shop, the Black Dog Speed Shop in Lincolnshire with Danny Zetterman, Brian Dubose, and Chris Bleck. I'm David Kaplan, and as I look over at Sloan Park, there are some guys throwing on the field, and everybody's getting ready to rock and roll. A bunch of players already out here and have been for a few weeks going through their workouts, but everything officially gets started with pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow and then working out the day after, but a lot of the pitchers have already been on a throwing program. So and welcome in Carm and Hoodie. Yerk has the day off. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Wonderful.
Hello, Cap.
How's AZ?
AZ, it was exceptionally cold this morning.
It looked like it.
42 degrees.
I saw the pictures.
42 degrees, but the sun is out now. Danny is still in his parka.
Yeah, of course. How's DZ? So, we know how AZ is. How's DZ?
DZ's cold.
Is he all right? Is he freezing?
Listen, I'm not going to complain because I know it's like 12 degrees there.
No, it's like 30 here, actually.
I'm telling you, it's 12 degrees warmer here, and we've been sitting outside for 4 hours.
It's balmy here in Chicago, though. I think we got some parkas here.
There's parkas out, for
Absolutely.
Sure. We're getting snow, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
We're getting snow back there?
Nah, like 2 inches. It's nothing.
Oh, no big deal.
No, it's no big deal. We had a little dusting last night, a little bit more today, some freezing rain. It's nothing. It's February.
As Kenny Williams would say, Chicago tough.
That's right.
So it's we're good.
That's what we are. Yeah.
You stay out of Chicago
business. How was Mexico?
You stay out of Chicago business, pal. You stay out of Chicago business.
How was Mexico, Cap?
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was nice. 83, 84 every day and sunny.
Beautiful.
It was sick.
Yes.
Yeah. How are the golf courses in Mexico? Any golf?
I did not. You know, I played 3 times last year. I mean, I just basically have given the game up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
me too.
It is what it is.
Yep. 5-6 times a year, that's it. You can't even really call it golf anymore.
No.
Yurko plays more for all of us.
Oh, yeah, he plays, by far. But he gets out a fair amount in the summer.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. Again, when you've got a front porch and a back porch to deal with on my backswing, it's just not happening. I told you, I'm just that guy that can get it to about 250 or 260 yards, and I got no use for the iron. So
I'll
what's
take
the point?
That.
Yeah, but I got no use of the iron.
So. Well, I wish I had your game off the tee. I'll take 260 off the tee.
I'm the guy that, you know, ESPN used to have the fat guy with the cooler.
Yeah.
You know, just like the longest tee, right?
That's
me.
Yeah, that's right.
That's me. But then afterwards, like, what's the point?
7 iron and in, you're done.
What's the point of that?
Oh, shit. It takes you 6 more shots.
So that's not golf.
Carm has the really good short game. I remember.
I do have a good short game.
Here.
Yeah. I wish I could get off the tee better. I'd be a better scorer. My short game's all right.
You and I would be a terrific golfer combined.
Absolutely. Pair us up together.
So what do you think about this rumor now that Nolan Arenado is going to agree to a deal that will keep him as a Rocky for basically the rest of his career because he's saying, give me fair market value. I have no interest in getting a free agency. He's 12 months away.
I'll tell you what it means for the Cubs. It's good for Cub fans who want Chris Bryant in a Cub uniform for his whole career, right? I mean, I don't know if that will ultimately happen, but that's got to be a good sign if Arenado takes that deal, right?
You would think, except he doesn't have Scott Boras as his
agent. I guess that's true. The Boras thing is always rearing its ugly head. If you're, you know, he's going to be pushing and driving Bryant to free agency. Rarely does he tell guys to accept team-friendly deals. With his pitchers, he'll do it. You know, but with the position guys, nah. But maybe he realizes how much the landscape has changed, Cap, and I don't know. If Arenado signs, maybe that's a good thing for the Cubs to get a long-term deal done with Bryant.
If it's a one-year, $26 million deal, if it ended tomorrow, ended after his contract's over, that's pretty good cash. $26 million for a one-year deal. If nothing else happens after that, he's in good shape.
Yeah, but, God, you got your sights are set on so much more crying out loud,
sure.
You know?
You are. I mean, these guys have dreamed of the day to get to free agency, and all of a sudden, guys are going, you know what, just give me a really fair deal and I'll take it. I don't want to deal with it.
That's very different than it was just a handful of years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. And we were asking Jed Hoyer today, could he see what's going on in the NBA where Anthony Davis or whoever it is, you know, says, hey, I'm just letting you know, when my contract's up, hasta la vista, I'm out of here. And Jed said it won't happen in baseball, in his opinion, because he said you can't win in the NBA without one of the top 10 players.
Right.
Baseball, you put a good pitching staff together, you defend and timely hit, you can win the World Series.
Sure.
You don't have to have Mike Trout or whoever.
Mike Trout can't even get to the playoffs, for crying out loud. It's a shame.
No one even knows who he is in the second team in town in Los Angeles or in Orange County. That's also a major problem.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So, but this also just ties into what's happening with Machado, Cap, because, you know, as a White Sox fan, it would have been great to have Machado there to kind of jumpstart the organization. Yes, it's about prospects in the future, but to be able to have what I consider, like, quote unquote, my John Lester.
Yes.
You know, just to be able to jumpstart the organization would be great.
Right.
But it cannot be. And I argued about this over the weekend on national shows, Cap. One baseball player just can't make 6-7 year deal over $300 million. Because that's not guaranteed to win the World Series.
Nothing's guaranteed, but when you're as good as he is at 26, I'll take 7 years. It's not like he's 30 years old or 29.
I can't do it. I'll do it in basketball. I can't do it in baseball. You know why? It's baseball. I got too many examples of Pujols or Alex Rodriguez or Mike Hampton. I got all those examples.
A-Rod's first deal was that lived up to it. Whatever he was doing fine. But, I mean, he helped teams win. He put up incredible numbers, some of the greatest the game has ever seen.
The Ranger deal, though, was
the Ranger
ridiculous.
Deal,
yeah,
yeah, but he was worth that. They trade him to the Yankees. He's an MVP three times. Actually, he might have won one of the MVPs in Texas, and then won two more with the Yankees and helped them win. I mean, this is not Pujols. It's not a 32-year-old player.
It's not Mike Hampton.
No, Mike Hampton.
And I can't compare Manny to A-Rod.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's as good as A-Rod, but he's a. Talent-wise, he's going to deliver for you. And he's not going to make as much as A-Rod, so it doesn't even really matter. I mean, he's not,
True. You
know, I mean, he might not even get that much 15 years later, which is sort of stunning to believe, but
it's crazy.
He's going to
A-Rod
put... He's
was get, in the year 2000, I think.
No, I think it was going into 02, wasn't it, Cap? I think.
Was it 02?
Because he was still... Wasn't A-Rod still on the 0-1 team that beat the Sox? I'm almost positive he was. On that Mariners team.
On the Mariners
team. You might be right, because I was there. It was in Texas at the Lowe's Anatole Hotel when the word came down he's going for 252 to Texas.
Yeah, yep. And now, you know, that's, 17 years ago, and you guys are fighting to get that. But Machado and Harper are still going to produce. They're still in the primes of their career.
Yeah, he was 25 and went to Texas in 2001.
Okay, in 2001. That's right. See?
And so he was on that Mariner team that beat the Sox in 2000.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was 2000. My bad. That's right. I had my years wrong. You're correct. And by 2001, he went to Texas. That's absolutely right. And so when guys in their prime shouldn't have to be fighting for this money, and I don't mind a 7-year deal for a guy who's plenty short of 30. It's different if you're 29, 30, 31. I get it with 30-year-old pitchers, 29-year-old pitchers. The Pujols deal was a bad deal. The Ellsbury deal was a bad deal. Yeah, there are a lot of bad deals in baseball, but
I don't think Jerry's going to do it. He was soured by the John Deggs deal.
No. They'll never give another pitcher that kind of money. But there's a rumor. But I'm telling you, the rumors, and there was another report over the weekend, and it's more in line with the numbers that I've said on the air that I've heard, that it's well north. Yes, well north of the 175 that Nightingale and Buster had reported, that it was well over $200 million. Now, it still might not be enough, but they're willing to go there. Like, Jerry has stepped up and said, okay, here's north of $200 million if you can get this guy, if you really believe in him.
Would you pull the trigger, Cap, if you're Jerry?
I would, because I think, especially if you could get Bryce Harper, which I don't think they can, but he's a brand. I mean,
yes.
I can't begin to tell you how many people would be wearing Bryce Harper jerseys if he signed with the Chicago White Sox. Manny's a good player, great player. Bryce is a brand. He would. For me, I would write the check if I was the White Sox.
I know Danny would be the first one. He's not even a Sox fan. He'd be the first one with that Sox Harper jersey.
You better believe it. He might get
Harper,
one.
Mr. Harper, it's not every day we get a superstar walking down our street.
It's not every day.
Mr. Harper, Bryce.
Come on, Bryce.
Keno.
Oh, my God. Danny's going to get one.
Got a podcast.
We'll make Danny a Sox fan yet, trust me.
Yeah, especially if Harper's wearing a Sox.
He's being awfully quiet over there all of a sudden.
he's laughing.
He swallowed the mic.
I can't disagree with anything
you say. Right. Danny running down the street after Bryce Harper.
Mr. Harper, Bryce, so great. It's not every day.
Oh, that's awesome.
he would definitely turn. If Harper was on the south side, are you kidding me? My God, he'd be on a train every time the Sox were in town just to see Bryce in person.
I definitely think Manny's more realistic at this point. Now it sounds like the Yankees are back in, though. Like, maybe the Yankees have been lying in the weeds through all this. I don't know. I mean, who knows what to believe over the weekend?
Well, do you think it's collusion?
I don't think. I mean, Yerk is here. Of course, he just is on this soapbox shouting collusion. I don't think that it's collusion.
I think it's a lot of analytical guys getting smart.
I think that's what it is. I think owners have always tried to suppress the wages. I mean, do you call that? Is that collusion? I mean, they're always like they've been guilty of colluding before in a very specific way. I think. Is businessmen, they've always had it on their minds to lower wages and not give the player as much and keep more for themselves. That's not really collusion. That's very rich, powerful men trying to become more rich and more powerful.
That's American business.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's more like, that's what it is. And the players, look, it's hard to say they suffer or sacrifice because what they make, but everything is relative. People have to remember that. They get to be paid what they're paid because, in a way, they're special. I mean, that's just the reality. They have gifts that we do not have, and they're compensated quite well for possessing those gifts. So you have to remember that things are relative and that they are the ones. It doesn't seem right that in a league where since A-Rod signed that deal, I think revenues have more than doubled and only one player has ever gotten a deal like that, and that was Giancarlo Stanton. That doesn't seem right over the span of 17, 18 years. Mm-hmm. When revenues are more than doubling and maybe even almost tripling, that nobody can get a deal like that. And yeah, smart analytic front offices say we can't sign 30-year-old free agents anymore. That's fine. But Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are not 30. So that's been my take on this.
Yeah, I go in the search bar of Twitter and I put in Bryce Harper hit and get the same nonsense. And then I do the same thing with Manny. I'm like, there's got to be a day where there's a breaking story. There's got to be.
I mean, it's, I don't know.
There's a catcher's report now. Like, yeah, man,
this is
it.
This is the week.
There's still not.
But J.D. Martinez didn't sign until, I think, Feb 27 last year.
Yeah.
And he turned out to be the most impactful free agent, right? I mean.
Yeah. And he got the same deal, Feb 27, that he got when they were originally talking to him back in December or January. $110 million.
Isn't that amazing? Same thing. Waited around, and still got the same deal.
Well, that's it. I'm taking it.
Well, there's going to be Harper or Machado. The White Sox need to be able to have someone to jumpstart this thing. You got to be able to have someone.
Like you said, the Lester. Can they have their Lester deal? This be it?
You got to have it because as much as I'm excited about the young prospects, they're all suspects until we see them on the field. How do we know? How many Tim Andersons do we have, Carm, that's going to be in the minor league system? That's a real question. Like, I'd like to know that. Look, I like to think that the majority of the young players that the Sox have ready to come up are going to be able to be productive.
I hope.
But I don't know.
But you never know. And then Cap had me cringing earlier today. You were talking to McLeod. You had to mention Jared Mitchell.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Oh, man. That poor kid. Now, you kind of feel bad because that kid had a terrible injury that, may have slowed.
Tearing Achilles.
It was even worse than that. I think he did some real, if I'm remembering correctly, he did some real serious damage to his ankle. And I don't know that it was Achilles, but he did very serious damage to his ankle. And I don't know that he was ever the same after that. But, Cap had mentioned two picks before Mike Trout went, the Sox took Jared Mitchell. The next pick was Randall Grichuk. You'd be happy with Randall Grichuk.
Yes,
poor Jared Mitchell never made it to the big leagues. Right. I mean, Grichuk's not so bad. And then, two picks later, it's Mike Trout. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and then the Cubs are taking Brett Jackson, like, 31st.
Yeah, I remember that.
Sitting on the board, Nolan Arenado.
No!
Oh, God, was he?
He went 59th.
Oh, my God. Isn't that unbelievable?
Such a crapshoot. You have no idea.
You really don't. That's the thing. Mike Trout goes 25th. You don't know.
The thing I love talking to Jason, he's so honest. He said, hey, I can just tell you, man, we were not one of the ones that missed on Mike Trout. He said, we picked after it.
Yeah.
But I could tell you, if he was sitting on the board when we picked at like 29 or 30, we were not going to take him.
Wow.
We had doubts because of the playing in cold weather in high school.
Right.
And he said, same on Javi. He was such a wild player. We would not have taken him if the Cubs hadn't taken him at 10. He was picking for San Diego at 11 and took Corey Spangenberg.
Wow. It is kind of crazy that those kids from that part of the country, like if you're from here, and of course kids make it. Jason Kipnis made it. Kirby Puckett. I mean, a lot of guys make it. But
Granderson.
Yep. Granderson, sure. But, I mean, they do sort of, when they're being scouted, they're like, well, they don't get to play year-round. Yeah. They're not from California or Texas or Florida. You know, yeah. Like, yeah. They downgrade them.
They look at baseball Hoodie. Guys they like they look at football guys.
Yeah, right?
Hoodie, who was the kid from Simeon? Jeffrey... He went fourth to the Phillies overall.
Jeffrey. When was this?
What year? He was an outfielder in the early 2000s.
Hmm.
Fourth overall from Chicago, Simeon, and never made it.
I'm not remembering, actually.
Yeah. Jeffrey, top five pick.
No kidding.
Yep.
Oh, man, I can't think of it. Yep. But, yeah, they do. They somehow, like, they look at kids from this part of the country, from the East Coast. You know, Mike Trout's from, I think, a little bit outside of.
Jeff Jackson.
Is it Jeff Jackson?
Jeffrey Jackson. That was it.
I don't remember. And they're like, well, those kids don't get to play year round. Let's go pick the California kid.
Yeah,
let's go get the kid from Latin America.
That you take the guy from Florida or you take the guy from Texas who can rake because he's playing year round.
Yes.
Versus the guy that's got it like 10 games that are canceled 20? Here in the Midwest.
I mean, really,
because of the weather.
25th
pick. All right, we're
gonna
get out of your guy's way.
All right, see you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow. Have fun out
there.
You're
never in my way, pal. Hey, I'm pointing at you. All the way from Chicago. I'm pointing at you. I'm pointing at you.
We got Jesse Rogers at 1, Mark Schanowski at 1:30, the Joe Stonecrab Primetime Player of the Weekend, and we're going to replay some Jed Hoyer.
You're the man.
All right, see you, Cap.
You're the man, Cap.
You're the man.
Just take the headphones off. Just take them off.
All right, those guys are next. See ya.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Yurko is off today. I'll be back tomorrow. Jonathan Hood sitting in. Always great having Hoodie sitting in when Yurk is gone. Yurko went hunting for geese this weekend. Yes. Snow geese, I believe, down in Effingham. You ever make the drive down to Carbondale? You get to Effingham, you see that that cross that is like 10 stories high. I mean, it's... Whoa!
Yes.
Wow.
I've been to Carbondale geese hunting.
Yeah, you have?
Yeah,
right?
But you have no idea who they were.
I have no clue.
Yeah, they had short skirts, though.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
We are coming to you live from our first Midwest Bank State Street Studios. And this hour of the show is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If you like high-scoring, winning hockey at an affordable price, you're going to love the Wolves. They boast the conference's leading offense. They're off to one of their best starts in franchise history. And parking is free all year, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Kia dealers. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. For ticket information. Jesse Rogers will join us from spring training at 1. Officially starts later this week. Mark Schanowski at 1:30 will also nominate Joe's Stonecrab, Primetime Players of the Weekend, a little bit later on. Your chance to win the $100 gift card to Joe's. We give it away each and every Monday.
A lot of candidates for that for a very busy sports weekend.
It was a busy sports weekend. I watched a lot of basketball, and I did not watch any of the football. I actually polled that question. So if you go to my Twitter, Hoodie's on Twitter, at TweetJHood. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. And I put it up there earlier today. Did you watch any of the AFF this weekend? That's the Alliance of American Football.
Or the AAF.
What did I say? AFF? Excuse me. The AAF. Thank you, Hoodie. Did you watch any of the AAF?
Or the ALF.
Or any of them. Which, surprisingly, the ratings seemed pretty good. I was stunned.
While you were watching the AFF, I was watching the ALF. Willie, please, I want to sit down and have dinner. Willie! Nelson, please, my boss is coming.
I love that show, man. That was so great.
Primetime on NBC.
Such a great show.
The weird little puppet.
Oh, my God. I loved it. So did you watch any of the AAF this weekend? 56% of the audience saying no, but 44% saying yes, they checked it out a little. I didn't watch any of it, but I kept reading about it. I saw the ratings were pretty good, and a lot of people seemed to be talking about it on the internet.
I saw the first game that was on CBS just for like a quarter, and then in and out on Sunday, too. Two things that stood out to me. First of all, that... I think we already knew this, that America loves football, no matter if it's a name brand or not.
That's what it's proving. That we've become
football.
Obsessed with football.
There's a football. Let's just watch the field. Let's watch what's going on. That's number one.
It's like the Pro Bowl doing a 9 or whatever it does. You know, like it's insane.
Yeah, it's amazing. The second thing, though, that we know is that, you know, if you can gamble on it or if you can do fantasy football on it, people will be interested in it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they're making book on this. There's lines on this.
Yep.
Jeez. There is, but I saw it over the weekend. I'm like, I don't even know who's on these teams.
I have no clue.
you're betting on the coaches because those are the stars. You know, it's funny how this AAF is very similar to college basketball in that regard. Like, we know the coaches, but we don't know a lot of the players. There's a lot of camera time to Mike Singletary and that loss that he had yesterday.
And Singletary's coaching, I knew that. Listen, part of me is like, I love the NFL and I love football, but when the NFL season's over, like, I've come to grips with it. It's over. I wasn't going to watch football this weekend. Yeah. I don't know. I chose other stuff. I watched Duke Virginia. That was pretty fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Zion is just, I don't know. I don't know how any team is going to pass him up. And I won't say, I'm not here telling you, I'm guaranteeing that he's going to be a superstar or any of this. But I don't know how a team that wins the lottery is going to say, no, we're not going to take him. I get what he's doing now is dominating in a way that's not going to come as easily to him at the next level because he is, by and large, just more physically dominant than 97 or 98% of the kids on the floor
yep.
that he's sharing these courts with in college basketball. But, man, does he seem like he's got a feel for the game. And they made it very obvious early on what they were going to do. Three bodies around Zion Williamson at all time. And he seems to know what to do with the ball. Hey, I got to pass it out of the double team. I got to pass it out of the triple team. Now I've got a chance where I've got a guy pinned deep. I can't overpower him. If I have to step back and take a three and make it, I will. I mean, there's a lot to like about him. I can't believe the way Duke shot the ball from three over the weekend. RJ Barrett like made his first five threes, I think. So
because I'm on during the daytime, and this is the time where you do bats. So I got my wallet here. We'll do $100 right now, you and I.
All right. $100.
Yes. All so right. This is a standing bet for the next right. 5 years on who's going to be the better player. I'm going to tell you it's RJ Barrett.
Okay.
And the reason why is because you did the same commentary, because I was listening, you did the same commentary on Ayton this time last year.
And that's the other thing. I watched Ayton twice this weekend.
So,
anybody saying DeAndre Ayton is a bust, you got to help me out. I mean, I don't know that he's great either yet. And he's played all of, what have they played, 40 games.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton has a true shooting percentage over 61%.
Yeah.
That's somewhere in the top probably five or six in all of the NBA. He's averaging, his per 36 minute numbers, he's averaging like 21 and 13.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll tell you about Ayton. Obviously can't stretch the floor, can't shoot the three. He's kind of a throwback, and you wonder how that translates now.
Not in today's NBA.
He's not a threat. He's yeah. more of a post player. But, man, in pick and roll, when he dives to the basket, his athleticism and his power and his finish, tremendous. He looks lost defensively to me, mm-hmm. but that can be fixed. With proper coaching, a 21-year-old kid with that type of body can be taught a thing or two about how to play defense. He does look lost defensively. I totally get it.
So right here on this Monday, you are firing Igor Kokoskov.
Yes, he's got to get him out of there. Get the Russian out.
You
better find somebody that could try to fix him defensively a little bit. But I don't get it. How anybody can watch DeAndre Ayton and say he's a bust? You got to help me out. He's averaging a double-double. He's shooting like 60% from the floor. How is he a bust?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like you said, that he would be special. And again, that's still to be determined because he's a kid. Still to be determined. And by the way, some of these numbers are skewed because of how bad that team is.
And that's a terrible team. You're yeah. right. Although they played a fun game against Golden State on Friday night. Wide open. It was a pretty. And they played without Booker on Friday. And they were right there.
Yes.
So I'm
going to take Barrett in that. And not saying that Zion's going to be a bad player. I'm just going to say that Barrett could do more.
I don't even want to debate that. I'm just saying how any team that wins the lottery is going to pass on him, it's going to be hard to do.
Right.
I don't know how a team is going to do all the scouting that they're going to do and say, we're not taking him. Chris, would you agree?
Yeah, I think I agree with both of you because, Carmen, I agree with your take that no one's going to pass up.
Right.
But I agree with Jonathan that RJ Barrett might be the best pro from this draft. But when you look at it, I think the very least you're going to get a player in Zion Williamson who's going to be probably one of the best defensive players in the league.
Yeah.
So if that's the floor, is that a guy who's so good defensively, he changes things for your team going forward? I think teams are going to take that risk
yeah.
that he hopefully turns into a guy who can shoot from the outside.
Yeah, boy, he's quick off his feet, isn't he? I mean, he's like, he is.
Think about Zion and two max spots for the Knicks.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
That very well could be
case. That could be a good team, too, with two veteran guys and Zion, you know?
Well, you hope it's the ceiling and not the middle.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, if it's the Knicks now. And again, we got all this consternation about the Bulls, right? The Knicks also can be considered a dumpster fire, too, the way they handle their business.
Totally.
So
now, they could have the last laugh, but you're right. The way they've done things the last 15 years?
With the Knicks, it could be DeMarcus Cousins or Robin Lopez. for the unrestricted free agency, and that's not hyperbole.
Yeah, I know
that's
true.
Joke.
Yeah,
I mean it's either the top notch. I mean it's the max. Two max spots are available, mm-hmm. and if those players at the top, whether it's Kyrie or whether it's DeMarcus Cousins or whether it's Anthony Davis, if they're not interested, it's Durant. If they're not interested, that very well could be Robin
Lopez.
You
go from Kevin Durant to Robin Lopez. That's a tough sell to Knicks fans.
I'm just telling you, man.
And Dennis Smith. You got Dennis Smith Jr. maybe. I was watching Ayton, and I was thinking, like, okay, people think he's already a bust. Maybe he will be. I don't know. I wouldn't write him off yet.
No.
And then I started thinking, like, is he a Mecca Okafor? You'd be disappointed with that. I mean, Okafor was a second overall pick, and he was good, but he was never a game changer. He was never a focal point of a franchise. He was never so completely dominant that he, you know, carried teams to the playoffs or deep in the playoffs. Great defensive player, double-double guy, was pretty good his first 5 or 6 years. So I'm watching him. I'm thinking, like, all right, is he just a Mecca Okafor, and that's why people are saying he's going to be a bust? I don't know, but, boy, he's an athletic kid, and in pick and roll, he can be devastating. And if they taught that kid some recognition and some awareness on defense, there's no reason DeAndre Ayton can't be a really good player. Speaking of recognition on defense, the Bulls,
yeah,
you know, and I don't care that they're losing. They should be losing. They actually won a game over the weekend. They split the weekend. But how many dunks can Jabari Parker have in one game? And I'm not going, God bless my late friend Norm Van Leer, whom I love very, very much. I'm not going all Norm saying you got to put an elbow in the guy's temple. How about somebody learn how to play defense, though? And for all the talk about Jim Boylan is doing things the right way, and Pax was on the station again reiterating that on Friday, why is that not translating into games? Why is Jim Boylan supposed to be this defensive guru? And you want to talk about a team that looks lost defensively? The Bulls are clueless defensively. And I mean absolutely clueless. Lowry's not a good defender.
Right.
No, I mean, like, it maybe without Wendell, it's what hurts them right now. But, geez, oh, my. I mean, Jabari Parker had a field day at the rim on Saturday night.
Absolutely. But Jim's fine. Jim's doing fine. That's what was in the press conference. That was a conversation you and Yurko had, and everything's fine.
Like, they tell us, Hoodie, that the practices are good, that the habits are good.
Don't want to hear it.
I've lived that. I remember covering a team where Bill Cartwright coached them, and it was always, boy, these practices are so good. Then they'd get into a game, and were their players bad? They were, but they never resembled anything close to what they looked like in practice, and that is a coaching issue. When one thing is happening at practice, but for whatever reason, players aren't taking it to a game and then implementing it, that is a coaching issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's happening with the Bulls right now. Oh, the practices are great. Well, that's fine, but you're a dumpster fire when the game gets going.
How many years have you and I been able to hear this throughout a number of sports? We heard this with the Bears when the Bears were bad. The practices are great. It just doesn't translate into the games. So anytime that you hear that as a go-to, as a crutch, you know that things are bad. Yeah, and so it just, this is what it is. I mean, like, you can never be surprised when you turn on a Bulls game and see them surrender 130 points a game. And that does not surprise me. And the thing that
Jabari
really,
had a big smile on his face.
Of course. I mean, for once, he goes, I'm not playing defense, but I'm sure scoring the ball. Yeah, it's amazing. I love Jabari Parker. He gets traded. He goes, what are you going to do next? I'm going to Harold's. That's what he said. I mean, of course he's going to go to Harold's. And
why wouldn't you?
He's going to blend in with everybody else.
Oh,
he probably went to Matson. He's probably on the south side. You know,
so
all 6'8", 6'9". Like, yeah, can I get a quarter dark?
So awesome.
Yeah, so here it is. Here it is, the Chicago Bulls. And the thing that really disappoints me is because you have young players – like marketing, because you have Archie Diacono and Felicio and all these guys, you realize when you're bad, and you've been around it, so you know, when you're bad, it's next game, next flight, next hotel, next arena.
I know.
Next game, next flight, next hotel, next arena, meaning that you don't really care because there is no – the coach is going to yell, but it doesn't mean you have to continue to conform to what he wants. They don't care. They know the season's over.
I know. And then, they should lose games. Don't get me wrong. But my bigger problem is, again, about this coaching, the idea that the coaching staff or that Jim Boylan specifically is improving and that what he's doing is right. I mean, just because it works in practice, but when you never see any resemblance of it or semblance of it in a game, I think you do have to start wondering. And where is the coaching? Why is the guy who's supposed to be a defensive guru why is he having such a hard time? And the talent level has a lot to do with that. I do understand that, but there should still be some – you should be able to see it's one thing if a guy gets beat because his feet are slow.
Yep.
Or if he's just not athletic enough, or they don't have a true rim protector now that Wendell's hurt. Like, that's one thing. But when guys look confused, that's a problem.
Yep.
And guys look confused. You know, and that shouldn't be happening.
Jim is fine. And this is the same guy that you didn't give an evaluation of, we're going to fire Fred and have an evaluation. No, you went all in and said Jim's the guy.
And they've doubled down on that.
For the next year.
Yeah, they've doubled down this last week on it.
But Jim's fine. I mean, Jim Boylan is the emoji of the dog amongst the fire, and he's got his cup of coffee saying, this is fine.
Yes, that's right.
This is fine. There's no problem, Carm. Look at it. I mean, look at this team. Yes, they're losing games, but don't you want to be able to see something that says, hey, we are starting to turn a corner here? Where's the corner?
The one positive right now that I will continue to go back to is, and he's got a long way to go defensively, and he might never have been great, but Lauri Markkanen is starting to look like an offensive weapon. Lowry's last 12 games, he's averaging over 21.5 points a game. He's shooting better than 41% from three. He's shooting almost 47% from the floor. He's averaging over 11 rebounds a game. Like, Lowry is starting to look like a real offensive threat, and that is encouraging. That's all you can hope to see from here on out.
How about Otto Porter? How's he doing?
I like Otto. I think he's a fine player. I do. You could already see in the first two games, if you watch this weekend, what everybody in Washington sort of dogged him about. Like, he's sometimes too passive, and they used to always say he didn't realize how good he was. Now, maybe that's because he was constantly third fiddle behind Beal and Wall. And maybe now, without those guys, he spreads his wings a little. But shoot more. He made some threes over the weekend. And you can see all the things he does well. I mean, he will guard. He will run up and down the floor. And he can shoot. And he's athletic. He's got that nice, long NBA body. I mean, I like Otto Porter. He's grossly overpaid. I get it. But
he's a nice piece for the Bulls. He's not the reason why you're going to continue to win ball games, but he's a nice piece.
If you get two other great players, he's a real nice piece.
Yeah, it's a nice piece. He's your third or fourth option as someone that can help on both ends of the floor. But then again, sometimes Otto gets lost defensively. I mean, I think that was pretty apparent in Washington as well. There were times I'd watch Washington and that Otto Porter played well, especially when John Wall was not on the floor.
Yeah.
I guess you could say the same thing for Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal, same thing. Yeah.
So that says a lot for John Wall.
All right, 312-332-3776. If you want to check in, talk Bulls with us at all, anything about the upcoming draft too, if you watch Zion and RJ Barrett win at Virginia this weekend, thoughts on those two players. You're welcome to talk NBA with us and basketball with us. Also, some more news over the weekend, or at least rumors, I shouldn't call it news, about baseball's hot stove, cold stove, and this arduous grind to find a landing spot for Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. Some new rumors about the White Sox number and maybe the Yankees back in on Manny. We'll talk about that. 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers at 1. Mark Schanowski on the Bulls at 1:30. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hoodies in for Yurk on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. What's that I hear? I think that's your Bulls buzz I hear.
We had a busy weekend. The new look Bulls play Giannis and Nico tonight at the United Center. We'll check in live there. Plus, spring is almost here. Well, the Cubs and Sox report for spring training on Wednesday. We'll have Mark Jean Greco in studio at 5:30 and the good, the bad, the dirty.
And, of course, a trip inside Waddle's world as well. We get started at 1:45. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Let's see the boys a little over an hour from now for Crosstalk. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hoodies in for Yurk. Let's go to Ryan in Apple Valley, California on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys got a great show. Thanks for getting me on today.
Sure.
Hey,
thank you.
Hey, my biggest fear with the Bulls and Gartax is that if we get the number 4 pick, we'll settle for Cam Reddish, which scares me because I think Cam Reddish has all the abilities, but I call it Ben McLemore syndrome. And no offense to either of those guys. I know that talks sense. Number 2, if we do get a top 3 pick, I would prefer Ja Morant over, you know, it's hard to turn down Zion, like you guys say, but Ja Morant over RJ Barrett. Because if we get RJ Barrett or Zion, we're going to have to shuffle our front five. If we get Ja Morant, we could plug him right in. And I think he could really facilitate, get the ball to Levine, and I think that would really help our offense take off.
All right, Ryan, thank you. I wouldn't worry so much about having to reshuffle the deck if you do get the player that you covet, though. And if you think you've got a generational talent, then you just make it work.
We are 136 days away from the draft, but we can say for sure that that Morant's going to be a player, the kid from Murray State.
Those three are going to be the top three.
Yeah, if you haven't seen a Morant, and again, it's you got to get the rabbit ears out and try to find your your local boat, you know, your Jefferson Pilot to find Murray State basketball. But Morant is all that. He's a 6'3 point guard, does a great job. We could see Williamson, Morant, Barrett.
That's going to be it.
Reddish will be in that top five. As we mentioned, Cameron Reddish is the 6'7 freshman from Duke. So the only question I have is, that's a great idea. Who's going to coach him?
Jim Boylan. Brett's in Willowbrook on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Two quick comments. First on Zion. If you win the lottery, it's a no-brainer you have to take him, not just because he's probably the best player, but he's going to fill your stadium every single night. He'll probably lead the NBA in jersey sales next year, be towards the top. So I think like that value alone makes it a complete no-brainer that you have to take him if you have the top pick. And then I wanted to comment on baseball. You guys were saying before how Arenado is likely to sign an extension rather than get to free agency.
There's rumors out there,
I think that's really smart, and I wonder if more guys are going to do that because the way free agency has gone the last 2 years, I feel like the best leverage players have now is with that 1 year left to leverage the you don't want to lose me thing, right?
Yeah.
And Arenado's in that position now. I think Goldschmidt's in that position with the Cardinals. They just traded for him. They gave up stuff. Like, he can leverage that. Like, sign me now and get teams to overpay them for that rather than these guys going to free agency and rolling the dice, seeing what's happened the last couple of years.
And that could be good
I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Brett. That could be good for the Cubs in getting a deal done with Chris Bryant if that's what they covet. And I'm sure they'd like a more friendly deal with Chris. I don't think they want to be be in discussions with him when he's an unrestricted free agent. And he, has the potential to go out and break the bank. Now that might not happen anymore the way that the landscape has been the last couple of years. But I think that was always their fear, and that's why you manipulate the clock. You buy the extra year because he's a slightly older player. He played in college. He came in as a slightly older player. He'll be 30 years old, and they want to stay away from signing and those older free agents and giving big money to those older free agents in their 30s. So now maybe it changes things if they can get a better deal with Chris Bryant. Arenado signing only helps the Cubs, I think.
Yeah, I think that from Bryant's standpoint, he's shown his flexibility because I just thought if he's going to be a third baseman, he's the best third baseman the Cubs have had. Maybe since Santo, probably than Santo, when it's all squared away. There's Say, there's Madlock, too. But I think that Chris Bryant could be better than them all.
Better than Aramis. Aramis was good, but he's better than Aramis.
Yeah, and the flexibility. He could play left, right, could play third, first. So he's a guy there that you'd really like to have for the long haul as a cornerstone for your franchise.
Let's do a quick trending here. It's brought to you, as always, by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single-game tickets are available for matchups versus Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy them now online at nusports.com. Anything good in the world
Gentlemen, as we know, Kyler Murray is trending because he announced he is going to the NFL, will not play baseball.
All right, no baseball. He can make more money as a star quarterback.
No, just a smart guy.
You know, he was...
Well, he had lost in the shuffle playing baseball, but he was a little shortstop.
Safer.
Maybe
not for quarterback.
He's a little guy. Everyone's going to miss him.
Look what quarterbacks make, man.
He was receiving a lot of criticism the way he handled his interviews at the Super Bowl media.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
but he was very indecisive and did not come off looking good.
Yeah, Mark, but keep in mind, Dan Patrick makes everybody nervous.
Yeah.
True.
What else, Mark?
Phil Mickelson wins Pebble Beach for the fifth time, and the U.S. Open will be there later this year.
That's right. So. Yeah. What's his odds go down for Phil at Augusta?
At Augusta, I haven't checked yet, but I think, in the 20 or 30, so maybe.
Text firm and see if they came down. I'll shoot him a text. I wonder if his odds have come down at all.
And Tennessee remains number one in both polls.
Tennessee won pretty convincingly against Florida.
Tennessee's good.
Yeah, Tennessee is good. A little bit of an older team, believe it or not, and they're pretty
good. Yep.
For the finest quality seafood in Chicago, visit our friends at Joe's Seafood, Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant. Visit joes.net for more info. We will nominate Joe's Stone Crab Primetime Players of the Week, and coming up next, then we'll go out to Arizona and talk to Jesse Rogers. Mark Schanowski from NBC Sports Chicago covering the Bulls and talking Bulls with us at 1:30 as they take on Giannis and the Bucks tonight on the West Side. Hoodies in for Yurk. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
All right, happy Monday. Hope you're having a great day. Yurk's back tomorrow. He's off today. Jonathan Hood is sitting in. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, and there's some breaking news. The Cleveland Browns have signed Kareem Hunt. This is been officially put out there by the Cleveland Browns. And a statement from John Dorsey. Remember, John Dorsey had him in Kansas City.
Yes.
Obviously. So he always knew, like, the Browns, the Bears were going to be interested. The people that knew him well. Matt Nagy knows him well and has an affinity for him, despite everything that he's going through right now. Matt Nagy was honest and open about that when he talked about having conversations with Kareem Hunt and believing in him and trying to talk to him about what's going on in his life. And had very good things to say about him. So the Browns have signed Kareem Hunt, not the Bears. And Jesse's going to join us in a few minutes. But just real quick, we can read the statement here. This is from John Dorsey. My relationship interaction with Kareem since 2016 in college was an important part of this decision-making process. But we then did extensive due diligence with many individuals, including clinical professionals, to have a better understanding of the person he is today and whether it was prudent to sign him. There were two important factors. One is that Kareem took full responsibility for his egregious actions. Yeah, it's on tape, so. And showed true remorse. And secondly, just as importantly, he is undergoing and is committed to necessary professional treatment and a plan that has been clearly laid out.
All right, cool. So, no surprise to you or I that he was going to be back in the National Football League, kick a woman on tape, right back on, in a uniform, because that's the value of a woman being abused on tape. There you go, for everyone to see. So again, whether it was the Bears, and the Bears had the door open.
I'm glad the Bears didn't. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad they didn't.
But here's the thing. It was a strong consideration for the Bears because McCaskey was just parroting exactly what Nagy said, that we're not there yet. Meaning that the door was going to be open. The door was ajar to bring this piece of garbage into the Chicago Bears organization. And so now here we are with the Cleveland Browns. And you know the due diligence they saw? They saw those numbers, pal. Well,
they see how good
he is. They said that was the due diligence that they had.
Don't you love it when they say there are two important factors? One is that Kareem took full responsibility. He lied twice to his previous team. He only took responsibility because it's on tape, John. You should really throw that out the window and just say there's one important factor. He's committed to the necessary professional treatment and a plan that has been clearly laid out. If you want to give that line of BS, that's the factor. Not, oh, he's been very honest about what happened because it's on tape,
yep.
Genius.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry. And it's been released for the world to see. He lied about it more than once. Give me a break.
The value of a woman does not matter to some in the National Football League. Some fight for dogs. Some fight for women. Some fight for children. In this case, the Brown says, hey, you know what? This guy can run the rock for us no matter what we saw on tape. Never mind the backlash that you will get from fans and women alike in Cleveland or Browns fans. This guy can run the rock for us. He can help us win. Cool. Now, here's the thing. You and I have done shows for years, so you know how I feel about this. I have zero tolerance for domestic violence. Second chances, yes. But my stance has always been the same with this, Carm. I believe that he deserves a second chance, but just not on my team. Not a team that I'm running.
I'm glad it's not the Bears. I'm with you. I am. To me, you can, like, as great as he is, I just for once would do things a different way, but like really practice what you're constantly preaching and go find your own Kareem Hunt in the third round, just like you did when he was in Kansas City.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if Matt Nagy was on the staff. He must have been, I'm assuming. You know, like, do it again. Just do it better here.
Right.
Like, that's what I think.
Right. Right.
Is that so wrong?
Have a standard.
I mean, like practice what you preach for a change.
Right. Have a standard. And the Brown standard is, hey, he's kicking this lady, his old lady, you know, and it's fine because it's on film, but I know he can run the rock, so we're just going to turn a blind eye to all of it.
The Brown standard is we've sucked forever, and now we're getting good.
Sure.
So we're going to sign Kareem on.
That's fine.
Like, just say that instead of, well, you know, he's been very honest. Really?
Listen, you can do...
Because TMZ released the tape?
Listen, and again, I want to make sure it's very clear before people start hitting me on Twitter on this. He deserves a second opportunity, just not on my team. That's all. On a team that I'm generally managing... No, thank you. Because my standard is that you shouldn't put your hands on a woman. But for
it's
John
Dorsey, so hard.
For John Dorsey, right? Though, he can run the rock, pal.
Not so hard.
Come on now. And by the way, I don't know if you ever took a time and looked through USA Today. They have this police blotter going back all the way to 2000 on how the NFL used to police those that were in domestic violence cases. When you go back to 2000, 2001, it would be fine. And then back on the field, no suspension.
Wow.
Like $100,000 fine, $50,000. You kicked the old lady, $100,000 fine.
And don't you love how people say, well, it was a different time back then?
No different time.
Like, it was okay, I guess. Oh, it was okay? Oh, all right, I see.
Going back
I didn't
to 2000,
know.
The NFL was just like, yeah, you beat your old lady? Oh, it's okay. That's okay. Get back on the field.
I didn't realize it was okay back in 2000.
Same organization had Christian Peter, the Bears. They had Christian Peter in a Bears uniform. Same thing.
Yeah.
So this not a surprise.
All right. If you want to join us to talk about that, you can. The Browns have signed Kareem Hunt, 312-332-3776. Jesse, in a second here, let's nominate Joe Stonecrab Primetime Players. Let's do that before we go any further. Your chance every Monday to win the $100 gift card to one of our favorite restaurants and one of the best restaurants in Chicago, Joe's Seafood, Prime Steak, and Stone Crab Restaurant. Who are you going with?
I'm nominating the entire Blackhawks team.
I was there yesterday. It was great. Biggest crowd of the year, Hawks and Wings. The Wings aren't very good right now, but the Hawks have won 7 in a row, and all of a sudden you kind of feel like they might be back in it. The problem is there are like 6 teams within, I think, 4 or 5 points of that last playoff spot in the West. So it's crazy.
How about that, though? How about a turnaround? Or Bob Murray, who takes over for Randy Carlyle.
Randy Carlyle's
Bob
out.
Bob Murray.
That's a good nomination. The whole Hawks team. You could go with that Strome, DeBrinket, and Cahoon line. They were fantastic yesterday. They had 9 points. I'll go with Kevin Durant. I watched that game last night. They came back at home. They beat Miami. Miami was up big early. Durant had dropped almost 40 on him last night. So I'll go with Kevin Durant from the weekend. Who is it, boys?
And the winner is Phil Mickelson. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll go with Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant is the Joe's Stonecrab Primetime Player of the Weekend. Remember that because you could win the $100 gift card before we're done at 2. Let's get out to Jesse.
The Hawks.
Should be the Hawks. He's made it out to Arizona. Jesse Rogers will be there for the next 6 weeks or so, and he's brought to you by Continental Toyota. Experience the Continental difference on LaGrange Road at I-55, ContinentalToyota.com. I mean, hey, Jess.
I mean, Golden State's got 5 stars on the floor. The time.
He's still awesome.
Hello, Jess.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Just watching TV with Cap and Zetterman here about the Kareem Hunt news. Kind of shocking. I guess shocking just because the rumors with the Bears. But I guess that, Russell's going to have to face the music just like Kareem Hunt did. And Russell's going to do that later this week. First time meeting the media since being suspended. He put out that statement. So we were just talking about how, Russell is going to have to deal with it, and Hunt's going to have to deal with it in Cleveland. And these guys got to own up to their mistakes. And, I agree with you guys. Everyone deserves that second chance if you're not in prison, right, for what you've done. But Russell's got to do and say the right things to even attempt to win back this Cub fan base. And it's going to be interesting how he's treated during this spring training and even when he comes back from suspension.
Will he talk much after he does this press conference, or will that be it until the suspension is over?
It's a great question. I mean, I don't see why he wouldn't talk during spring training. Now, once the season starts and he's suspended, I don't think he's going to be out front and center. But look, he's got to go through his daily routine, play games, go back to his locker. He's going to be around. I can't imagine he's going to say no comment. Now, I don't think he wants to repeat or relive, everything that's gone on. I'm sure he'll be willing to talk more baseball than anything. But that's a good question. How open will he be even after this press conference about his personal life? I'm going to guess not so open. He probably wants to get it out of the way here, and maybe professionals have advised, get it out of the way and then don't dwell on it every day. It's better for your own health that you concentrate on your progress, your therapy, your counseling, and not discuss it every day publicly. But he has to discuss it at least once because he certainly has some questions to answer.
Jesse, just from the beginning, from the comments from Theo and Jed and also Joe Maddon, how do you think the Cubs overall have handled this situation with Russell?
I've said this several times. I'll say it again. I think the team is being extremely sincere in what they're doing and how they're handling Russell. I don't know if Russell is sincere. I don't know that. And that's why right now he really has he's built up nothing with the fan base right now after what he's gone through. It starts on Friday or Thursday whenever he speaks with the media. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to win people back. That's not the number one thing he needs to do. He needs to improve and mature and all that other stuff. But secondary to that is if he's going to play baseball, he needs to win the fans back. But you asked me about the team. I think the team, and again, the fact that he is not coming off some MVP year helps matters, because why is the team sticking their neck out for him? Because I think they truly believe, why make him someone else's problem? I heard you say what you said about Hunt, Jay Hood, when I was on hold. Danny Zetterman feels the same way, that he believes Russell should get a second chance, just not on my team. Well, what if every team said that? I think he deserves a second chance, just not on my team. That's almost like saying he doesn't deserve a second chance, if everybody said that. So I'm willing to give the Cubs a chance on this as an organization, because they are trying to do the right thing for a marginal player right now. For a marginal player, and they have been in touch with his ex-wife the whole time and continue to be, to make sure that there's no repeat offenses, even though they're not married. So I back what the Cubs are doing in this stance. I really do. It is unusual, though. Every other suspended player for this, and I should say significantly suspended player, there's been a couple 15-game suspensions. Those players have returned to their team. But everyone else, from Aroldis Chapman to Jose Reyes, they've all moved on, because it's just simply
Ozuna.
Tough to return. It's tough to return to your own team.
Yep.
But they're going to try to do it. At least right now they are. I'm still not convinced he plays another game for sure in a Cubs uniform, but we are at spring training, so a trade would have to happen between now and May 1st. So that's my attitude. I think they're trying to do the right thing for right now as a marginal player.
Would the best thing for the Cubs, in their hopes of signing Chris Bryant, be if Nolan Arenado took some sort of a deal here without getting a free agency?
Yeah, that's something I mentioned with Cap. The answer is yes, but there's a big but. Every agent or agency is going to treat this new normal, that this new era of free agency, differently. Now, Bryant is still a Boris client. Look at all these guys holding out. You're not holding out, but not signed yet, that are Boris clients. Now, will that change Scott Boris's attitude moving forward, his strategy moving forward? Maybe. But let's go more directly towards another player, one that's represented by the same people that represent Nolan Arenado. That's Javier Baez. I think Javier Baez is ripe for a huge, huge deal. Now, he's a few years away from free agency, so they have to buy out some arbitration years and things like that. But the fact of the matter is, Arenado is signing up, it looks like, 1 year before free agency. Rarely did stars do that in the past. Rarely. Within a year, they would wait. Why not have 30 teams bid on you instead of one? So the fact that his agency, it's a big agency, the fact that they are willing to sign Arenado up now, I think gives hope for a guy like Javi Baez, because they're already proving that they don't have to take their client to free agency. But I don't know about Chris Bryant and Scott Boris. We'll see how his strategy changes moving forward.
What are your expectations, Jesse? What do you think we're going to see with Yu Darvish? I don't mean physically, but between his ears.
I really don't know. I like the fact that it's a small thing, but I like the fact that he is stepping up and being accountable, doing interviews in English, for example, recognizing that he let the fan base and the organization down. He got hurt, obviously, but even before that, he had his issues. So I don't know, but I do like what I see, what I've seen, and what I've heard so far, Jay Hood. I do agree with what Jed Hoyer said to Cap this morning. Don't judge him in spring training. In fact, I hope he starts slow. I hope he's only throwing 92, 93 next week or this week, because last year, after pitching in Game 7 of the World Series, he came out like gangbusters, probably like always trying to prove the contract, he was worthy of it. He's throwing 97 right away. So the only place he had to go was down, and eventually he got hurt. So I hope physically and mentally he sort of builds towards the regular season. I really hope they take it slow. And I'm not going to judge him at all in spring training. I'm going to judge him starting April 1st, because, look, when you talk about mentally, he could absolutely fool us in spring and look great and have no problems getting through tough innings because it's spring training. But the real test for Yu Darvish is April, May, June, July, et cetera. So I like the signs so far, Jay Hood, but incomplete report. I can't tell you right now. Maybe in a couple weeks, after a few more days of talking to him and stuff like that, get a better feel. But at least he's being more accountable than he was a year ago, simply by doing interviews with in English, and not using frankly, I thought he used the translator as a crutch last year. I really do.
Hmm. All right, Jess, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, guys, take care.
There's Jesse Rogers out in Arizona, and he'll be there for the duration of spring training.
Yes, he's going to be there for a long time, maybe through October. You never know.
He might just stay. So the big news of the day, the Cleveland Browns are the team that signs Kareem Hunt. It's apparently, according to Ian Rappaport, a one-year deal worth, it could be worth a little bit more than $1 million, a little bit more than the minimum, and then he becomes a restricted free agent after 2019. Still don't know how long he's going to be suspended, if that's going to be 6 or 8 games for 2019. Eric on Twitter says, guys, have you thought about the conspiracy theory? And I've heard this, that John Dorsey is the one that somehow leaked the tape knowing that this would happen. That John Dorsey knew, of course, that this incident happened. That John Dorsey knew there was videotape of it. Mm-hmm. That John Dorsey then somehow gets the hotel or the Cleveland. Because this happened in Cleveland.
Right.
That's where he's from.
Right.
Gets his hands on it, releases it to TMZ, knowing that this is the chain of events, that the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid would be forced to cut him, and that he'd be in position then to sign him.
Anything for a W, from his standpoint.
Boy, their skill position players are pretty loaded right now.
Yeah, that's a question. Well, okay, so from a football standpoint, let's talk about from a football standpoint, because you know how I feel about this personally. So from a football standpoint, because Baker was able to elevate the Browns to a different level, right, they were on a terrific run. They were cresting in the right direction. So with Kareem Hunt running the football with them, that only increases what they already have offensively. That should be a good 1-2 punch between Baker and Kareem Hunt.
312-332-3776. Let us get to the phone calls.
Yes.
By the way, Travis on Twitter says, Carmen, you should ask Jordan if he celebrated the Cubs winning the World Series, because if he did, he's got no business being upset because Aroldis Chapman did some worse stuff. I think this guy's confusing you and Jordan. You're not Jordan Cornette.
It's unbelievable.
You're Jonathan Hood, just so we can...
This is why I do Under the Hood. This is why I do my show weeknights.
Just so we can clear that up.
Yeah.
Do I
sound anything like Jordan Cornette? Do I ever sound like I'm like was played at Notre Dame? Do I?
I don't know that that's a good Jordan Cornette. You got to work on that one.
No, that's like, no. It's not even a good Jonathan Hood. Do I sound like Jordan Cornette?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I don't think you do. Dave's in Wisconsin on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Hey, you guys seem kind of upset that he signed with Cleveland. That, you know, I'm not saying that you should hit a girl. That's definitely should never happen. But
go ahead, drop in the butt, Dave. But.
What?
Yeah. But. You shouldn't hit a girl, but.
You guys are upset with the Browns, but...
Not upset with the Browns.
I don't know. Who said they're upset with the Browns?
I mean, not upset with the Browns. Upset that he just got signed. I mean, if the Bears would have signed him, that would have been great.
Awesome. I'm glad they didn't. But...
No, actually not.
I would have loved to see him on the Bears.
Why? Of course you would, Dave.
I don't see a lot of jumping on Addison Russell and the Cubs re-signing him to join the...
I disagree, Dave. I think there's been a lot. I think there's been plenty of criticism. We just talked about it with Jesse. I don't think that's accurate.
Well, which I don't. You're listening to a different show. Yeah, it's not this one. So I don't know what you're listening to.
I don't agree with that.
But it's just I think I've made it very clear over the years on this station that I have no desire and no patience for someone that's involved with domestic violence.
Josh is in Aurora on ESPN 1000. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, Carm?
Good.
Just wanted to, and a hood, of course, my bad.
That's okay. So, I still get paid either way. I don't care.
Of course. So my biggest thing is, and I'm surprised no one has really been talking about this update got released, but especially the fact now that he just got signed to the Browns, why is it that Ray Rice did something very similar, got caught on tape as well, and basically got blackballed from the league, and then, you know, a couple years later, Hunt does the same thing, and not even within a month of being, or a month, maybe a month and a half of being released, he already gets signed on to another team.
Because, we'll tell you why, Josh, and thanks for calling, because Ray Rice was older and no good anymore, and Kareem Hunt is young and very good, and it's as simple as that.
Unfortunately. We hate to put it to you that way, but that's exactly the truth from a football standpoint that Ray Rice was trending in the wrong direction.
All right, we'll grab a few more calls coming up here, and then we'll take a break to talk to Mark Schanowski at the bottom of the hour, a little Bulls NBA talk, but you're welcome to join us, and a lot of people want to chime in. Kareem Hunt signs with the Browns. 312-332-3776 is the phone number, and do you buy the conspiracy theory that John Dorsey was behind this? a couple of months ago when he released the tape. He had the tape and released it to TMZ, knowing the chain of events would lead Kareem Hunt to his team and his roster. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hoodies in for Yurk on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. What's that I hear? I think that's your Bulls buzz I hear.
We had a busy weekend. The New Look Bulls play Giannis and Nico tonight at the United Center. We'll check in live there. Plus, spring is almost here. Well, the Cubs and Sox report for spring training on Wednesday. We'll have Mark Jean Greco in studio at 5:30 and the good, the bad, the dirty.
And, of course, a trip inside Waddle's world as well. We get started at 1:45. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
All right, big breaking news day. We've got this Kareem Hunt story signing with the Cleveland Browns. Were the Bears ever in it? I wonder. A lot of this needs to be flushed out now and, you know, needs some reporting on. But he goes to his former general manager's new team. And we're going to talk to Mark Schanowski, by the way, in a few minutes. Maybe about 5 minutes. But there's also... I don't know how to report this. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how to report this, but Manny Machado's Instagram account, and we're sure it's Manny, right, guys? I mean... Did I got God here?
No, this is Manny Machado's Instagram account, his story...
What's that mean? I don't go on Instagram a lot, Chris. What does it mean, his story?
So are you aware of what Snapchat is?
Yes.
Okay, so Snapchat...
Vaguely. Walk me through it. I've never used it once in my life.
Well,
but.
you could post, like... you can post something to your followers that then erases...
That disappears.
Later.
Right.
So Instagram integrated that into what they have, and it's called the Stories.
Okay, the Stories.
So on his story currently, 14 minutes ago, he reposted this Custom Blings 1 account... that has some booties, like for babies.
Yeah.
That are White Sox booties and the number 17. But now there's no audio on it. And so I went to the Custom Bling Inc. 1 account.
Yeah.
To look at that video specifically. And there was no audio on that either. But why does he have White Sox booties?
I don't know.
Hawks coming back! 19!
Hawks coming back to kick Benetti out of the booth. Step aside, young man. I'm doing Manny's games.
We got Manny's games. Yes! Yes!
It's like he's going to pull a Jay Leno. All of a sudden, Benetti's going to be out. He's only and Hawks coming back to take half the games again. He's got to call Manny games. I don't know what this means, folks. I mean,
oh my God,
we're looking at booties. I mean,
yes, we
do.
Are,
we know they're Manny's baby's booties? Does Manny have a baby?
Stop dancing around the table, Freddie.
I don't know what any of this means.
They are bedazzled. Bedazzled yes! booties.
Oh my God.
Here we
Lord.
Go, Carm. Here we go! The hell with Pakoda! Here we come! Yes!
Take the over now, man.
What's up?
Oh my God.
He's got the booties out, Carm! Custom the socks! We got our Lester! We got our Lester! My God, we got our Lester! The booties!
Did Manny post this or just like it? Or I don't get it. Like, what's okay, Custom okay. Bling Inc.?
Yeah.
And it says Baby Flossin', and there are these little booties, and they're White Sox booties.
Yeah, why White Sox, huh?
Did he take the picture and post it, or did he, like...
No, it was posted to Custom Bling... one's account, and then Machado posted that to his story.
Okay.
So it is posted to his story.
So, like, he definitely saw it and would have to...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So someone who runs his account would.
All right.
Bridgeport, are you listening? Back of the Yards, are you listening? Shot him! Wake up the echoes!
Brownsville!
Oh, here we go! That's hot!
Midway!
Midway! Here we go!
Pullman!
Hey, Pullman! West Pullman, are you hearing me? For God's Calumet Heights! Here we go! We got Machado! It's coming!
Matt,
he's got the booties!
Matt on Twitter says, guys, they're Yonder's daughter's little shoes.
Cut the music.
But they already signed Yonder Alonso. I mean, they already traded for Yonder Alonso. But why is he putting it on his story, though, Merck? Wait, would the cat catch your tongue over there, Merkin, or what?
Abdallah has We'll explain more after in a second.
All right.
Explain more after. What's going on here?
The whole station's working on it now.
I thought Hawk was coming back.
I thought he was too.
Yes.
I thought he was going to tell Benetti he's only got half the games.
He's waking up from Granger right now.
This is like an episode of Catfish.
If you're on the phones and you want to talk about Kareem Hunt, sit tight. We'll get to your calls. We got time. We'll cross talk in about 25 minutes with Waddle and Sylvie. Right now, we'll talk a little Bulls with Mark Schanowski. You better find Garfine and see if he needs a towel over there, Schanowski. I don't know. He might already be in Arizona, but you better towel him off. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Manny's dropping hints or what, but this is crazy.
Yeah, Chuck drove down there over the weekend.
Did he?
Spent 2 or 3 days driving down. He's going to spend the whole 6 weeks down in spring training. And yeah, he's about as passionate as a White Sox reporter as you're going to find. So yeah, he'll be going crazy. And he's already down there. Cap is down there, as you guys know. So we'll have full coverage if indeed it happens.
Wall-to-wall coverage. Mark Schanowski is our guest from NBC Sports Chicago. Of course, covers the Bulls. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hoodies in for Yurko. Yurko will be back tomorrow. The Bulls got one and lost one over the weekend. And look, you want losses. I had a little mini rant earlier, though, Mark. You know, they keep selling us that Boylan's the right guy for the future and that practices are good. I'm always leery when practices are good, but then the coach can't get that to translate in the game. And I get that the Bulls are short on talent. I get it. And if you're going to tell me that, well, they're bad defensively because guys have bad footwork or they just don't have a real good rim protector now that Wendell Carter's hurt or they've got these limitations, I can buy it. But when they look lost and confused, I scratch my head and I wonder, why are practices good, but the coach is having a tough time implementing things into a game? I'm still not so convinced that Jim Boylan's the right man for the job.
Well, I mentioned on the air during our postgame show after that fiasco on Saturday night that it would look like the All-Star game came a week early.
Yeah.
I mean, neither team played any defense. It was just like guys stepping out of the way. You can go right to the lane and dunk the ball with impunity. No one's going to challenge you at the rim. And it was the quality of that game was so poor in terms of the lack of defensive effort. And, you know, when Jim Boylan first took over from Fred Hoiberg, his mission statement was kind of be, well, we're going to slow the game down. We're going to try to take on that road dog mentality. We're going to try to win close games and use the shot clock. And then all of a sudden that went out the window. And in the last 4 weeks or so, it's been like the return of the ABA, you know, with the scores in the 130s. Just no defense. And, you know, obviously they missed Wendell Carter as a rim protector inside, but that's not the only explanation for giving up 125, 130 points every night.
Mark, we haven't spoken since the deal in which Otto Porter's now with the Bulls. What was your initial reaction to the deal? What do you think of Porter as a Bull?
Porter's a good player. I was just as surprised as everybody else was because I thought that they were going to take that $40 million of cap space into the summer and see what they could do with it. You know, as I've had more time to think about it and watched him play a couple of games, he's a pretty nice fit in terms of a two-way three-man who's got a 40% three-point shooter for his career. Obviously, he didn't play much defense either his first two games here, but the defensive scheme is really not strong right now. My initial reaction to the deal was I was surprised that they would give up that cap space. And then John Paxson, of course, met with reporters the next day, and he was on your radio station on Friday and tried to explain the thinking behind it. And, you know, for a team in the third largest market with the history of the Bulls and a worldwide brand and all those things to say, well, we don't have the ability to get in front of those elite free agents. I think that is more troubling to their fan base than any reaction to the Otto Porter trade.
And I guess I see where they're coming from. They're not going to get Kevin Durant. Why would he come here right now? I mean, I guess it sort of makes sense, but yeah, you don't like it when your team punts. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we should, I don't know how to react to it, Mark, really. I mean, should we be in an uproar? Or should we say, well, it's sort of the pragmatic thing to do and, you know, try to reset here and hopefully win the lottery. And maybe 3 years from now, if Zion's a stud and, you know, maybe you hold on to Otto Porter, maybe Lowry's a really good number two. And then all of a sudden you can attract a big fish. I don't know what to think of it.
Well, the problem is that you always think that you can carry that cap space over, but that's not necessarily the case. I mean, Lowry Markkanen is to be due a max extension in the summer of 2020. You have to decide what to do with Chris Dunn. My guess is that they will not offer him big money. He may even be a trade candidate this summer. And Wendell Carter Jr. will be doing an extension in a couple of years. So that cap space that you think you can roll over to 2021 or 2022, it may not be there just because of the reality that the foundation players that you have identified in Markkanen and Carter, you're going to have to pay those guys down the road. And then if you still have Zach LaVine on the books, who, of course, could be a trade candidate as well down the road, they're going to have to do some serious maneuvering if they even want to get into the game in free agency. This was the summer where it looked like they were going to have the money. There was an elite group of free agents that were on board, but it's starting to look like 2010 all over again, where, you know, Pat Riley was able to carve out three max slots, and now the Knicks have carved out two, and it's like, you know, with these guys now wanting to play together, if you're a bad team and you don't have two max slots, you can't even get an audience with any of these guys.
Mark, after the trade deadline was all completed, which team stood out to you most in the Eastern Conference?
I think all of them did a nice job. The top three all made good additions. I like Marc Gasol being able to come in and be a part-time player for the Raptors, because that's a team that plays a very intelligent offense anyway, a lot of moving and cutting and very intelligent scheme that Nick Nurse runs. I think he's going to be a great fit over there. I love Nico with the Bucks. Too bad he's not going to play tonight if he comes back from that calf strain, but what you want to do is surround Giannis with shooters, because what Boston did to him in the playoffs last year when they beat Milwaukee in seven games was they just locked down the lanes in the fourth quarter and Giannis couldn't do anything. And now that if you put more shooters around him, you know, they added George Hill earlier in the season. They've got Nico to go along with Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch in the playoffs. And Philadelphia, of course, I was hoping that the Bulls might make a run at Tobias Harris this summer. That was the guy I kind of identified that maybe he was a realistic target, because the Clippers were going after the big fish. They were going to go after Durant and Kawhi Leonard, and they might let Tobias Harris go. But now the Philadelphia ownership and the GM's been quoted as saying, or Elton Brand said that they're going to try to keep all four. And my guess is that Tobias Harris may be an easier sign than Jimmy, because, you know, Jimmy's going to want max money, and they may be a little reluctant to do that given his past history. He's already had a couple of incidents with Brett Brown, the coach, in terms of his role in the offense, and they made max Tobias and tell Jimmy to go shop somewhere else.
Last dozen games for Lowry, better than 41% from distance, true shooting percentage up over 60%, better than 21 points and 11 rebounds a game. Lowry Markkanen turning into a real, you know, kind of like that offensive force that we thought he might become, and how big is next year going to be for him?
Yeah, the Bulls have to hope that he's going to be a perennial all-star kind of guy. They were obviously not really happy with the way he came back from the elbow injury. He's playing very tentatively and really just becoming a perimeter guy, settling for an abundance of three-point shots. But over the last couple of weeks, almost up to a month, you know, it kind of syncs up with when his coach came over from Finland and worked with him. I think they got back to a different way of looking at the game and a different mentality, trying to be more aggressive on the offensive end. Now he's looking more like the guy we saw in the second half of his rookie season, where he's putting the ball on the deck, attacking the rim, getting to the free throw line. And maybe it was just a question of him feeling 100% confident in that elbow again. But we're seeing the guy we saw last year towards the end of his rookie season. And I think Lowry can be a 1A kind of guy. I don't think he's the guy you're going to build your whole team around. Obviously, the challenge for the Bulls is going to be to find that big star. And their hope, of course, is they get lucky in the lottery and get Zion Williamson. But, you know, that's not a great plan, is to hope for a 14% shot at a transcendent player. But I'm very encouraged by what I've seen from Lowry over the last couple of weeks. I'm one of the guys that still likes what Zach LaVine brings to the team. It's not easy to score 23 points a game in the league. He still needs to fine-tune some of the selfish aspects out of his game. Has to be a better defender, but I think he's a good maybe number two. You know, they're trying to find that number one guy, and as we all know, that's the big challenge in the NBA. That's why bad teams continue to stay bad, why teams in the middle stay in the middle.
Yep.
You've got to find that transcendent guy. Right now, the Bulls don't have him on their roster.
It's hard. Mark, we'll be watching. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks, as always.
Yeah, we've got Giannis and company 6:30 pregame at NBC Sports Chicago. So, you know, even if you're not real encouraged with what the Bulls are doing, it'll be fun watching Milwaukee.
And the Bucks are the best team in the league statistically, so it'll be fun. Absolutely. All right, Mark.
It should be entertaining. Hopefully you guys nail down this Manny
thing. I hope so. See you, buddy. That's Mark Schanowski from NBC Sports Chicago.
Give me a text. Give me the number.
Kevin Durant was wearing a White Sox hat. He's signing with the Sox, too. I don't know if you knew that.
Give me the number for Brooks Boyer.
I'll text it to you.
I need two in the right field bleachers.
I can't do this anymore. I just can't.
What do you mean you can't do it?
I can't.
Machado's got booties.
We all know he's going to the Yankees.
Oh, shut up, Merkin.
Well, just get out of here, Merkin.
Come in there and pound you.
Get back to the office.
All right, we got a few minutes for calls coming up. We're going to crosstalk at the top of the hour.
Is
Machado coming to the Sox? And if you want to talk about Hunt,
got some booties.
If you want to talk
what
about
are you saying?
Kareem Hunt to the Browns.
What's with this guy?
He don't listen to him. Kareem Hunt signs with the Browns. 312-332-3776.
He's got the booties, Merkin.
They're Yonder Alonso's booties.
What?
It's Carmen and Yurko. Hoodies in for Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Oh, that's weird.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Bad news. Manny Machado was at Albert Almora's baby's baptism yesterday with Kyle Schwarber. He must be signing with the Cubs.
Yeah, jeez.
Right, Merck?
Well, you know what? It was good for a moment.
Going to the Yankees.
I said get out. What are you still doing here?
I swear. Let's stuff a sock down his throat and duct tape it shut.
What? And drop him off at, on 80, and drop him off at 87th and Green and fend for himself.
White Sox. Well, I don't know what's happening. Hoodie and Carm, Hoodie's in for Yurk. I don't know. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Let's grab a few calls. Guys want to talk about the Kareem Hunt stuff. Kareem Hunt signs in Cleveland. Were the Bears ever in on it? Were they close? How much did they talk to him? Other teams that were involved were still trying to sort all that out, and we'll probably know more as the day continues and into tomorrow. But it's a one-year deal. Worth a little bit more than the league minimum for Kareem Hunt. He's a restricted free agent after 19, and you got to figure he's going to miss at least, what, six games, you think, sure. Right? Probably eight, and then they'll reduce it down to six or something.
Well, again, none of it's ever good enough for me because six or eight games, that just says that was the value on that woman in that lobby in the hotel. It does. That's what it means, right?
I'm glad.
That stomping, that beat down, is that six worth six games? Is that worth eight games? How do you put a number?
I don't know how you do. They have to. I guess they have to. They have no other choice.
Unbelievable.
I'm glad the Bears didn't. I just am. I think, and you can go out and do your job now and do it well as you've done the last couple of years in the draft or in free agency, preferably in the draft, and find one of those guys because you can find running backs everywhere. They don't have a first or a second round pick, but there are plenty of good running backs out there in the third, fourth, and fifth round. Let's go to Andy in Lakeview on ESPN 1000. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. One really only needs to look at, any number of journal articles or national media reporting to really see that so-called rehab for this is simply not effective. The rates of recidivism are at a minimum 50%, and when it comes to athletes, even higher. I feel like this idea of placing somebody in rehab for something like this is sort of a way of misleading the public. And this is somebody who's not an alcoholic. He's not on drugs. At some point we just have to accept that this is who a person is. And that kind of leads to my next point, which is why do we continuously, Jonathan, it sounds like you sort of feel as strongly about this as I do. Why do we have to keep repeating this platitude of everyone deserves a second chance? Why does he deserve a second chance?
It makes people feel better, I guess, Andy, about the vicious circle and how it just goes on and on. I suppose that's why. And you're right. The rate of recidivism is very, very high in these cases. So second chance because it's a crutch.
I guess
we'd all like to think that we'd be afforded the same opportunity.
Yeah, well, listen, just from my standpoint, I can only speak for me. My standpoint is I'm never that black and white on a lot of issues. But when it comes to domestic violence, like as I said, he wouldn't be under – he couldn't work for me. But I know that someplace, which is reality in sports, it's reality in life, that someone's going to give a person that has that on their resume, that on their criminal record, a second chance. So it's going to happen whether I like it or not. I'm just saying that person can't work for me. Simply.
Yeah, I mean, I think we say it because it surrounds us on a daily basis, doesn't it? It is. It's reality. It's, people are, whether you're institutionalized and you're released and you get a second chance at your life, if you've paid, if you've done your time and you did your debt to society and you fulfilled your obligations, I think people, I suppose, hope in their own walk of life, if they ever got caught in something bad, that someone would afford them the same luxury. I think that's why we say it and we use it as a way to. You certainly know why teams say it and why leagues say it. They want their They want their star players involved. Teams want a player like Kareem Hunt. They just quite frankly do. They're important to the driving the economic engine that is their league.
Yeah, the other thing, Carmen, I mean, let me just say this. The other thing is that. you know, you talked about, well, I'm glad that the Bears didn't have to deal with that headache. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But if he was a Bear, you know what happened? We talk about it for a couple days, and then he'd be run the rock, and fans at Soldier Field would be rooting for him. Because it's the same thing as the Chapman.
Yeah, once he came back, I think you're right.
Well, just remember the Chapman situation.
Sure.
That was 48 hours of people feeling either uncomfortable, squeamish, or having a consternation about it. And then he starts throwing strikes, and you forget all about it.
All of a sudden, you come to grips with it.
Okay. Daniel Murphy's on this team. Chapman's on this team, on the Cubs. It's not like we haven't dealt with this before in Chicago sports.
Marcus is in Minneapolis on ESPN 1000. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. Jonathan, man, I'm going to say, man, I'm really disappointed in you. Even the words that you just used, you said he stomped and beat her. Like, that's ridiculous. He kicked her. He was wrong for it. But his career should not be over with for this. He should get suspended. You're telling me his whole life should be ruined for kicking her? And he didn't even really kick, he tapped her. Oh. I have a daughter. Listen, I have a daughter, so I'm sensitive to women. I'm not saying that it's okay.
Clearly you're not.
I'm saying he should be punished, but his career, his life shouldn't be over with. He didn't. You can't compare him to Ray Rice. Ray Rice knocked the girl unconscious.
I don't like ranking these things, but yeah, I mean the Ray Rice video did feel I don't think that we should rank these things, but it did. The Ray Rice video was awful, man.
I agree. I don't mean to cut you off, Carm, but I just have to get this point across to Jonathan. You can't use those words that you just used.
I will, and you I will continue to.
You said he stomped her, and he did not do that. He tapped. He pushed his friend into her. And then he tapped her. He kicked me. He lightly tapped her with a kick.
Okay. Again, Marcus, we got to run because we got to take a break, and we're going to crosstalk.
Understand the point? Marcus is a perfect example of, well, you know, if you just lightly tap a girl and put her in that position, then it's okay. And again, if you're listening, as I've said many times already within the framework of our show, I said that someone deserves a second chance, just not on my team. But you hear what he's doing now? He's trying to justify the actions that you and I both saw on video. This is where we are in 2019, Carm. This is where we are in 2019. You and I know that when we wake up, the sky is blue and some will tell you it's purple.
That's true.
You saw the video?
That's just life.
Did you not see the video that I saw?
I did.
Okay, so did
I'm not going to get into like ranking. Is it worse than the Ray Rice? Is it as bad? I don't know. He did something terrible. You can't, and then he went back for a second go. I mean, and had he not been being restrained a little bit, it could have been a lot worse.
He wants me to take it back.
We need a Joe's winner. Who is our Joe Stonecrab primetime player of the weekend? Caller 10 to get the first crack at that. 312-332-3776. Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie is next on ESPN 1000.